El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a weekly column for a fucking internet website, and I would use that column to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I would come on this show to defend those opinions. Now, I don't do a fucking thing. Joining me today, what else can I say? I've said some host of the Lowest Common Phenomenator podcast, fantastic comic, killing the robot right now, and also sometimes my co-host on Conspiracy the Show. How about that shit? Ladies and gentlemen, Olivia Haidar. Also joining me, he is the host of a podcast on the network called Bleak and Review. He's also sitting in the co-host chair for this episode of Unpopular Opinion. How special he must feel. Ladies and gentlemen, making his millionth appearance on the show, Kevin Anderson. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
That saves me so much work. Now I don't have to record that shit later. That was fantastic. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me today as co-host.
This is big. This is big.
It's big time. Big timer over here. KB Anderson, yo. Kev Dog, as he prefers to be called when he's not recording.
KA47 if you're nasty.
Yeah, but stage name, Kevin Anderson.
That's true. Hi.
How's it going? Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, bud.
Where did the 47 come from?
It's like AK-47, but yeah. KA-47. Oh. Because guns are sick.
Oh, my God.
I'm hella into guns and shit.
Yeah, that's actually pretty
holy shit.
Clever.
Jesus.
And... joining us as a last-minute replacement, thank you so much, Olivia Haidar.
Hi, hello, yes. I was watching It Chapter 2 when Kevin texted me.
Yeah, did you like it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We had another guest booked. I don't want to commit any HIPAA violations on the podcast, but shout out to Atif Myers. He was supposed to be here. He died this morning. No, he didn't. We're fine to joke about it because he texted me since being put under.
Yeah.
And now he is back up and alive and well. Whew. So we'll get Atif Myers on a future episode. But as for now, it's just us.
Just us. All of our shoulders work.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. The three horse people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The three horse people.
Is that what we say?
That common expression.
So, Olivia, how have you been since?
Oh, you know.
You know, the hardest part of this show for me was the first few minutes. Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life, when all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. And that's why we call this segment This Week in Me. This seems loud.
Yeah,
seems loud in my headphones. Very, very loud. And it's about to get real intense. I mean, slightly less intense now that I cranked down the volume. But
it woke me the fuck up, I'll say that.
Yeah. This, I'm using a finicky soundboard.
Yeah,
it's a good.
I mean,
rig.
You're co-hosting. You should take the fucking soundboard.
Oh,
right?
Oh my god!
Oh, wow. Holy
yeah, there
shit.
You go. Is it gonna stretch?
It'll work. It'll work. This is the one I'm gonna be using a lot.
It's lit. Oh well, the problem is the dog's toy is on it.
Yeah.
Winter
because even when not in the room, she's causing problems.
If you were a Patreon
son
person. Who is getting to watch this in live stream, you would be able to see Adam trying to get a dog toy with his feet off of a cable.
Yeah, this is, wow.
Oh my God.
This is incredible. Incredible feat of athleticism that we're witnessing live.
Incredible feat, because he used his feet.
I paid extra to have feet of athleticism. That's a dog toy. That's gross.
Yeah.
I don't know why I even wanted to pick that up. But, thank you both for joining me.
Of course.
We got some opinions to
we
go
do.
Through
we do.
Today.
Definitely.
I gotta. Well, before we get into that, I need to do some house cleaning.
Okay.
And shout out to our $50 subscribers. Ooh. Here's the thing. If you're a $50 subscriber, we're basically friends.
Yeah.
I've met most of these people. I don't think I've met all of them, though. But Anne Bankson, Rebecca Stewart, Kaisel Borski, and perpetual newcomer Jesus Cisneros Macias. I don't know if I've met him. If I have, I apologize. I smoke a lot of weed, do a little drinking when I'm out, and sometimes I meet people and forget.
So, but the cost of friendship to you is just $50 a month. That's not just bad.
Yeah, wow.
If for $50 a month, I might text you during Detroit Lions games.
Whoa, that's huge.
That's huge.
What an honor.
What an honor.
Yeah.
Indeed. Thank you.
Perfect. I just want to make sure I know what all these do.
That was appropriate.
That one says, yeah.
You're wondering what the one that says CSI on it does?
I was hoping it was a full episode. Just, you know, ominous tones.
Yeah, but it's, and not the Miami, but the one with William Peterson.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite. The only CSI, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. The original.
Yeah. And I already introduced the guests. Fuck you, notes.
Yeah, that's
where
us.
Where do you get off?
I.
Should we get into our opinions?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about some unpopular opinions, I believe.
I believe we have some unpopular opinions on deck.
These are opinions that are not popular?
They are the opposite of what we sometimes call popular opinions.
Okay, right.
Generally speaking, most people would disagree with these things.
Okay. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, cool.
And
I think I get it.
This is going to be a very dry episode.
I feel like I got a doozy for this one.
Yeah,
I'm excited about this opinion. And I feel like I'm not trolling. I think I'm being completely honest when I say internet privacy is overrated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, there is the reason I bring this up, there's an article that just went up on Reuters.com, and the headline is "Exclusive: Interpol plans to condemn encryption spread, citing predators, sources say," on Reuters.com by Joseph Men. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Interpol, which is this big international police agency, they're actually joining several other law enforcement agencies that came out and said the same thing recently. And their argument is basically, you know, the spread of internet encryption, and especially the type of encryption where the people who make it are just like, sorry, we can't help you at all.
Right.
That does legitimately make a sex trafficker's job significantly easier. It makes a criminal's job significantly easier. And I get that the government shouldn't have just like open access to everyone's text messages, which here's the thing. They do. They fucking do. To use it against you in court, they have to get a warrant. But we know goddamn well they have access to all of that shit. And where it becomes a problem is cases like sex traffickers, where the government is like, look, we have a warrant. Can we, like, we have a warrant for the messages on that phone. We need to see the messages on that phone. I don't think that is a big government overreach. If it has been determined that you are probably participating in a major crime and they have obtained a warrant, and like, we still need fucking laws.
Yeah.
Like, just because we have iPhones now doesn't make it the fucking Wild West.
Yeah.
And I don't really see the problem if law enforcement has gone through the proper channels and has obtained a warrant. If they go to fucking Apple and they're like, fucking give up that phone, bruh.
Yeah.
And Apple's like, no, we trust our customers' privacy. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. But I feel like, and I hate saying this, but I feel like the police have a point.
It's the first joke I've made all episode. It was a sound.
I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't know that just because there are people who abuse it for like wrongdoing means that we should just throw the whole thing out.
I'm not saying throw the whole thing
right,
out. I'm saying if you have a warrant, then so be it.
It's pretty similar to, I mean, classically throughout recorded phone conversation history, if someone's if there's a reason we've been able to, like, law enforcement has always been able to go get phone records and stuff and like calls and stuff. Like, are we talking, I guess maybe I'm just dumb and don't quite get, are they talking specifically like getting into people's email and stuff and like going through the, like their private messages? Are we dark web? Like, how deep are we talking privacy?
I think they're especially referring to stuff like WhatsApp and Signal.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Which provide this end-to-end encryption where even, I think even the company can't access or read the messages. And it's like, what good are you doing with that? Like, what good is happening?
A lot of activist organization.
I know, but there were activists before the fucking internet.
Well, yeah, but that's, but now there's the internet. Like, we can't,
But also, if you're just an activist organization, a judge isn't going to issue a fucking warrant. Like, it's not.
I have no trust that that's the case.
I mean, maybe they will, but like,
I don't trust a judge to not issue a baseless warrant. If a cop says that they have probable cause or whatever.
Yeah, of course. Like, but if you're an activist organization, you're getting infiltrated somehow by the government.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean that we should make it easier.
But that's not making it easier. They still have, even if it's a sham warrant, they have to get a fucking warrant. Like, I don't see the value to the general public. If a motherfucker is arrested as part of a sex trafficking ring and the authorities are like, we need access to those messages. What is the value in a means existing for that person to never have to give up their messages?
On the other hand, if someone is arrested for sex trafficking, that means that without these messages, I feel like there's then enough other evidence to convict.
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah, but to get a warrant, if you need the warrant to get the messages, you know,
but
then there's already evidence.
As the system works now, even a warrant won't get you those messages.
Right. No, I understand what you mean. But also, I feel like in the same way that, you know, we were organizing before the invention of the internet, there was also sex trafficking and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was all still done. Maybe even more so. I don't even know.
Is it kind of a case of like, what is the lesser of two evils? Like, where it's, if we allow this kind of encryption, do we think overall there will be more terrible things going down rather than positive things that, you know, you'd want to keep encrypted? I guess that's what it breaks down to for me, is like,
I just don't know that I want to like even have that conversation. Yeah. I want to just like, I think at this point right now, especially like, anything that we, any edge that we can get against the surveillance state that we operate in, it should be taken. I mean, I understand, like, when you said you're going to argue that internet privacy as a general thing is like overrated. Like,
well, I still want to make that argument.
I can agree with that to a certain extent, but when it comes to this specific case, that's where I hesitate, because now we're getting governments involved. Now we're getting law enforcement involved. And those aren't institutions that I have a ton of trust in.
I definitely agree that internet privacy is a joke when it comes to social media, because every single person pretty much is on like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. And we all willingly give that information.
Well, the thing with internet privacy, I don't know where we ever got the notion that we had that in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when did that sea change happen? Because it used to be,
oh, it's always been,
don't put your shit online.
Yeah.
Like, people will be able to find
every
it.
Every terms of service thing is always told you that your information is up for fucking grabs and you sign it anyway because you want to connect.
And like banking transactions and shit like that. Like, I understand that there's a certain level of security built in to stuff like that. But man, my Facebook posts, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read my Facebook posts. Read my tweets. They're public.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my Facebook posts aren't, but I also don't post on Facebook anymore because I'm a goddamn adult.
Same.
Yeah. I still have like,
you
probably
just tweet like a grown up.
Exactly.
I think I have like
grow up and join Twitter already.
Yeah.
I think I have to age another 10 to 15 years to get back to Facebook.
Yeah, it's a real like reverse bell curve distribution of like, like 18 to 25 and
babies
then like
and
60
old people
to death. Yeah.
That's who should be on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
Babies and old people.
Yeah, I've only used WhatsApp to communicate with like my mom when she's out of the country and stuff like that, or my brother when he was out of the country. So I don't have a lot of experience and with like really encrypted apps. Like
I used
that,
it to it's useful. Conduct an interview with someone from Venezuela.
Sure.
That's great. That's yeah. a great way to do that.
Yeah. It's useful for.
Oh, I called Momo too. I forgot. I called Momo.
I tried to find Momo.
All right, cool.
I'm bringing it back.
I barely knew what Momo was when it was happening, so I'll just.
It's lit.
There it is.
It's lit.
It is lit.
Only Patreon fact. People will know that. Adam pressed that button.
I had to reach into Kevin's lap.
Oh, and you bet I was courting that.
It's getting hot in here.
Oh, yeah. So then, yeah, the rest of the song.
Yeah.
I just stick to Club Penguin, you know? That's where I do all my weird
Jesus
shit.
Jesus Christ.
That was my favorite thing. Did you guys ever see Four Lions?
Yes.
I love the terrorist cell in that movie is operating with their people in like Baghdad or whatever, all through like a Club Penguin-esque website. It's just like these cute little like penguins that are like, that, we're gonna go blow up the thing.
That movie rules.
Yeah,
it's great. But that actually does bring up a good point. Like, to me, there's not much difference between using sex trafficking to break these sorts of protections than terrorism.
Well, that's the other thing, and that's a really good point. I say all the time that we use pedophiles and sex trafficking to pass our worst laws.
Absolutely.
And a great example that I've brought up before, I'll try to make it short this time because I know people have heard me say it before, but there was this case where Obama wanted to strip these three dudes of their citizenship.
Yeah.
Because they were involved in a child porn ring and they didn't disclose that on their citizenship application.
Wow.
Which,
why?
What an oversight.
That wasn't first sentence.
Have a lawyer look it over first, fellas.
You wanted to know about that?
Because their cover letter was just that and then the rest.
And they took them to court and like they were like, well, because you lied about that, your citizenship applications are invalid and we're going to strip your citizenship.
Yeah.
Even though they had been punished for the crime according to the laws that a U.S. citizen would be punished under, and the court agreed and stripped their citizenship, and no one cared because it was child porn.
Right.
And then Trump pulled it on this like 56-year-old grandma from Guatemala who had been working at this company, and the CEO had pulled off this huge tax scam. And all she was doing was typing up contracts. She didn't, like, she was a secretary.
Yeah.
Didn't know what she was typing up. She's just typing the shit up and sending it off for people to sign. And the FBI comes to her and they're like, you know, we could send you to prison for 10 years just for being there. How about you just plead out? You'll get, you know, probation. It'll be fine. So she did that. And then like 5 years later gets a letter from Department of Homeland Security that's like, that crime.
Yeah.
It started before you applied for citizenship and you didn't tell us. Now we're going to strip your citizenship.
The worst episode of Punk'd ever. That was tough. That's a tough one.
I mean, that's the thing. Like we stripped away, we basically dismantled the Fourth Amendment in the wake of 9/11.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of these protections that we once had have been whittled away at since then in the name of terrorism. And I am wary of using another heinous crime. Like, I'm not pro-sex trafficker here. Like, I want to make that clear.
I want to make it clear.
I'm not using Signal to, like, sell people or something. I don't know. You know, but, like...
Can you do that?
I am a
sell people on there?
I guess that's what they're saying.
Honey, you just got to know who to ask, baby.
Like, I'm going to list Kevin later. See what happens.
Exactly, yeah.
That's me screaming into the void.
Put him up for like 56 bucks.
56.
I was hoping there's gonna be a K after that. I was like, now I know what my I am worth 1 month of friendship to Adam Todd Brown. Jesus Christ.
Plus $6.
Slightly more. Yeah.
I'll take it.
And
I'll
a pack
it.
Of cigarettes in some states.
I'm gonna have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, we really shouldn't have given Kevin the soundboard.
I'm being a good boy.
No, yeah, you are. You're a very good boy.
I would say on the flip side of back when the internet was, I don't know if you guys seen Call Me Lucky, the Bobcat Goldthwait documentary about Barry Crimmins and his not just his rise in Boston comedy, but also his court dealings with AOL because he was a victim of sexual assault as a child. And he like basically because of him. Because back in like those AOL chat rooms, you could just go on there and be like, I want to find 12-year-olds that'll send me naked pictures. And nobody was monitoring this shit at all. And Barry Crimmins and a few other people like went after this thing and like got those like initial laws of like, okay, there's a lot of rampant. And like at the time, like there was, as somebody who was an early adopter of the internet, sometimes you and your friends pretend to be 14-year-old girls when you're 13-year-old boys, and then there's just pedophiles out there and they're trying to get you to do weird shit, and we're trolling them and it's hilarious. But like there was no regulation of any of that, and so like there were some basic laws passed, like I think it was like late 90s, like so before 9/11 obviously, but that I think like stuff like that, like if there's any measures we can take on a very base level to reduce the amount of child pornography that exists, then again, controversial stance to take, but I'm for that. But then I guess it's just how far and how can you, and you could be using that as an excuse to like then, you know, go on to do other terrible things with those implementations.
I would say the major difference is in that case you're really just talking about enforcement of standards, like broadcasting standards and that sort of thing. Basic. I mean, that's essentially what, like, that's essentially what applies when we're talking about things that are posted on the internet, or you know, that's, you know, it's kind of like a community message board, or you know, like that sort of thing. It's more about enforcing those kinds of quality standards more than
a moderator, basically.
Yeah, more than, whereas something like encrypted messages like Signal and that sort of thing fall more into communication and like people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, more into like the phone tapping type of area.
Yeah, and more of the Patriot Act like, stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that Patriot Act basically just, you know, destroyed, got rid of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
made irrelevant. And so, yeah, I think that there's just a little bit of a difference.
No, totally. But, I'm just trying to like wrap
maybe
my
we
head
should overturn the Patriot Act.
Oh, no. You think maybe that we should do that?
I
no,
think it might. I'm,
come
I'm,
on, guys.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I think it might be a good idea.
Yeah, I think it. You know what? I think you're right. Unpopular opinion.
True. Very true.
But the Patriot Act is a.
Thank you, Adam.
I feel like people are used to it now to the point where no one really talks about how much that broke our country.
Yeah, it really wrecked us. And not a single,
it's been normalized.
Not a single president has done a single thing to make it better since.
Yeah, no. Well,
all
because
all presidents included.
Yes, because
APAB.
That's the whole dangerous argument of whenever a president exceeds the executive restrictions, and that's
what happens whenever
thank
they
you
do
so
it.
Much what the Patriot Act did was give this enormous power to the executive, and no president is going to want to give back power that their predecessor had.
Right,
that's just never going to happen.
They're not gonna be like, I want less, please.
Yeah, exactly. So it is this thing that will, it, when put in place, it's only capable of snowballing because it's just going to get worse and worse.
Yeah. We've kind of been building our way to just having a dictator.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like people really underestimate the power of an executive order.
It's
like when Trump issued that, national emergency over immigration. And like
that was terrifying. That was like the first time like I was like, oh my God, like this is actually like a fascistic nightmare. Like it was, and well, not the first time, but
people like laughed it up and acted like that's such an easy thing to undo. But no, it's not.
No.
Like even if it gets vetoed, it goes back to the president who has the power to override that veto. So once, like, we have national emergency, we still have a national emergency declared and active and in place over the Iran hostage crisis, which happened in 1978. That was the first national emergency declared under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which is like back when Trump was running. I was like, that's what he's going to use to make Mexico pay for the wall.
Yeah.
And like, pull it up on Wikipedia. We have, I think, 35 active national emergencies right now that relate to like Ukraine, fucking tiny countries you've never heard of, and they're all in place and no one bats a fucking eyelash. And when that's why when Trump declared that one about immigration, I was like, you motherfuckers don't get it. Like, yeah, that's law now.
Yeah,
like, that's just, it's just gonna be law.
Yeah,
you can't just control Z that.
Right,
you're like, oh whoops, we made a mistake, let's go ahead and delete that whole sentence. Like, no, now it's,
well, Venezuela is a good example. Yeah, too, when Trump issued that executive order, and people were like, oh, I don't feel like that's a national emergency. It's like, did you feel Venezuela was in 2014 when, right, Obama named them a threat to our national safety? No one fucking cared. And we've been wrecking Venezuela ever since.
Oof. Yeah.
And, all up in them guts.
Yeah. And not just wrecking them, but when we put a declaration like that in place, any other country that might work with them or strike a deal to help them, if it's a country that's friendly to us, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of country, I think it was France, ended up pulling out of a deal to buy gold from Venezuela after we put that national emergency in place. Mm-hmm. And it's economic warfare is what that is.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe we do need WhatsApp. You just got to know that motherfuckers are using it to diddle kids.
Yeah, it's a really fucked up freedom to have the fact that it exists obviously can be used for whatever, because there's unregulated, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's, yeah, I guess it just really boils down to, does the positive outweigh the negative? And for me, I don't know, because I don't use it or anything. I don't know enough about it.
It's complicated.
I think this is going to, it's probably going to happen. They're probably going to be able to get rid of some of these encryption sites, because it is this issue, this moral issue, that is, it's not something that affects most people's day-to-day life. And that's how these rights get eroded, starting with these things where it's like, well, yeah, I don't use encrypted thing. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I remember, I remember when I, back when I worked for Cracked and the Edward Snowden thing came out, someone at Cracked wrote an article about who cares if the government spies on you as long as you're not doing anything bad.
Oh, yeah. Cops only pull over guilty people.
That's the worst.
Yeah, that's not a good defense.
Ask me what that person's doing for a living after the podcast.
They're a cop. The last thing I'll say about this, and this is just kind of a general statement about the one thing that I do, especially in this quote here from the article, that always puts me on like alert mode, and not to say it's not valid, but whenever somebody goes like, oh, your children are in danger, so you need us to do this law. Yeah. I always get wary of that.
Yeah, because absolutely.
It's trying to trick parents or like, you know, just scare. It's a scare tactic. Yeah. And a lot of time it is valid, obviously.
This is their,
but it is, yeah.
This is their quote. This is from the statement that Interpol is, I think, going to be releasing. I don't think they've released it yet. Reuters just got access to it.
Nice.
This is a quote from that. Service providers, application developers, and device manufacturers are developing and deploying products and services with encryption, which effectively conceals sexual exploitation of children occurring on their platforms. Tech companies should include mechanisms in the design of their encrypted products and services whereby governments acting with appropriate legal authority can obtain access to data in a readable and usable format.
I don't like it. It just makes me antsy. I don't like it at all.
Well, you're not a fan of the government?
No, not particularly.
I've known you for years, and this is the first time I've heard you say that.
Right.
Yeah, I am also kind of on the verge of like buying the whole network burner phones that we can exclusively communicate with. They're getting cheap enough now.
That's worse than you might as well just get a signal. That we can like a signal number.
Well, it depends on how much you believe about what Edward Snowden says about the NSA. Or how much you believe about what the good wife says about the NSA, which I cannot stress enough how much you will learn about the government watching The Good Wife and The Good Fight.
That's a great pitch for me watching those shows, I will say.
The Good Wife is great. Like, there's a reason it was at The Good Wife is the last great network television show.
Whoa.
It was flawless.
It's lit.
It is.
I'll say Jennifer in the comments said, if the government cared about children being in danger, they would do something about school shootings. That is it's a fair point.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, like, you know, if that's your actual motivation, then how about anything, do something about this.
Yeah, but in this case, this is Interpol talking.
No, oh yeah, that's true.
It's not true. It's not necessarily
not quite the same branch.
Because I don't know if WhatsApp is way bigger overseas.
Yeah,
like it's
big
not
in like
as
South
huge
Korea and stuff. I'm
here,
under, I
yeah.
Think, or, places like
I
that.
Think like it, and the thing is, like, we've done an episode about WhatsApp before, like the things it gets used for is pretty fucking crazy. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure, I'm not surprised.
Like,
really,
the thing it gets used for a lot in India is spreading false allegations that people are eating beef.
Oh, and yeah, then, we talked about
and
that.
And then
on
mobs
an
go find those people and
yeah, that's
fucking
terrifying.
Murder them.
That's like what we do in America, but we call it swatting, where we lose a game of Call of Duty and sick a SWAT team on somebody.
Exactly, the hoary old American tradition.
Well, at least since the PlayStation 3.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a very tough situation. I don't think we're going to solve it on this episode, but I think we did some good work. I think we did some good work.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it's hard. Like, you're right. When it doesn't affect you, it's harder because I say all my most inflammatory shit about the government on public podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Like, they would be really bored tapping my phone, and I'm sure it's tapped anyway.
Yeah,
I think they
and
all are.
Sorry to disappoint, but I just fucking work. It's a nightmare.
Imagine being the guy at the NSA who has to listen to every episode of a podcast. Like, just
that'd be dope.
I mean, it's not. I mean, I guess it's like being unemployed, but it's like just to have that job.
All right, who wants to go next?
I could do mine.
Let's hear it.
It's a little less deep of a thing, and it's probably actually not that unpopular when I think about it, but I think, at least in the U.S., that we should lower the drinking age to 16, like they do in a lot of other countries, and raise the age that you're allowed to drive to 21, is what I think.
Okay.
I think this for a couple reasons. One, I think not letting people... not letting kids drink until they're 21. I mean, we have the oldest kids in America. Like, people are not like adults until they're like in their 30s, right. I feel like. And I feel like that has something to do with it, is now you can finally drink, you're 21, you waste half your 20s partying because you can do it instead of like figuring shit out, you know, for unlike, I mean, for a lot of people, not for everybody. I also think that people driving for 5 years before they're allowed to legally drink, they are going to be drinking in that time. People party before they're allowed to all the time. I had several fake IDs. I drove drunk a lot because I was like, well, I can't like ask for a ride because my parents will know I was drinking. And so like, and then I actually did a tiny bit of research that I did put in the email thread. I don't know if it's available. It doesn't matter. But I looked up the per capita statistics of drunk driving related fatalities in the UK versus the US between the ages of 16 and 24. And it is monumentally different.
Yeah.
Especially in like the 16 to 18 demographic, is like, we have so many more, and it's not just because of population stuff. And I granted, there's other factors like public transportation's better there and stuff.
Yeah.
There's more public transportation options, carpooling, I don't know, bikes, a lot of stuff. But, I think that that is a contributing factor, is that, once you learn to, like, you drink at 16, the big party rush of it is out of your system earlier, and then you can be an adult about it, whereas like every college is just full of just the most maniac fucking people that are just shit-faced because they can now and they're away from home. And I don't know, I just think it would do a lot of good if we did that. I don't think we should have people driving before they can drink.
Yeah, I actually
I agree
with that.
I agree with all that.
I'm all really for weird. Raising the driving age.
Yeah. I think it's insane that we let children drive, essentially.
Yeah I was driving by 15.
Same.
Somebody said, don't put your wild antics on people, Kevin. That is fair. I know that I am speaking a lot from personal experience, but I think like generally.
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree. Happens. I think lowering the age, I've thought this for a long time. Lowering the age is a very smart thing to do. It makes sense.
Like 21's crazy. For
it
drinking.
Just, well, and also it just reduces the social pressure around drinking,
exactly,
which is such a big thing. It normalizes it more, so that people abuse it less.
Yeah, like you have to, like, on your 21st birthday, I don't know, like, people are like, oh, you gotta do 21 shots, or like you have this like huge eruption of,
and now
I can drink
just do
now
16 shots.
Yeah, and that is, as far as I'm counting, 5 less shots. And that's really what I'm here to say, is drink 5 less drinks than normal, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually, you know, I went to Europe when I was in high school. I know. I know, not to brag. It was pretty lit.
So stupid.
It was pretty lit. And I did.
Wait, how old are you when you went?
I was 16. Okay. And I drank alcohol while I was there. And it was fine. I didn't die. Nothing bad happened. I stayed with a family who had a couple kids my age in Denmark. And they, like, we would went out to a party. And the parents are just like, yeah, you know, be safe. We'll pick you up. Like,
yeah.
It's just another. It was like any other high school party, except there was also beer there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, it's just not a big deal to drink. I mean, obviously, there are still going to be kids who are going to abuse.
Yeah,
alcohol,
I mean, you're not going to be able to ever get it to a net zero.
I feel like if you're 16 and ready to abuse alcohol, you're probably going to abuse alcohol even if it's illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I knew a bunch of kids. Drinking age is 21, and I'm from Indiana, where you used to not even be able to buy liquor on Sundays.
Oh, dry county, yeah.
Yeah.
Dry state. Full state.
Oof.
I still knew kids who were alcoholics by the time I graduated from high school.
I knew people that did heroin.
Well, yeah,
I knew other. This is crazy.
I'm talking. I also knew several drug users as well. But like, I, you know, the people who did alcohol
they did not alcohol.
I drink.
Hell yeah!
Right,
drinking finally.
I'm drunk right now.
But yeah, like I just. You're not stopping kids from drinking by having, you're just making it more illicit and more exciting to do.
Yeah.
Just going into the comments real quick, it's not going to stop drunk driving. I just think my idea is that it'll reduce the amount of teenagers making terrible mistakes. And I think if you like Olivia said, if you normalize it earlier, or if you're like Jennifer's kids and she's had a good talking to them and they trust her and everything, and you have parents that trust you and you have to feel like you hide it all the time.
Right.
Then I just think you're going to have less drunk teenagers on the road, which, you know, I mean, if you look at the statistics, it's pretty rough. Waiting till 21. Yeah. I mean, yeah, 21 is not necessarily.
I think 18 is fine.
18 is like the more reasonable thing, but I was like, I got to amp it up for the unpopular aspect of it.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy that, I mean, this is the hackest thing I could say, but like, we let people go to war when they're 18, but they can't drink until they're 21.
Yeah, no, that's I mean it is kind of overplayed, but like,
weird.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just a weird thing that no one's really ever addressed. And I think as far as I know, are we the only country that has that? I think a lot of places are 18 or 16, right, for drinking.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
I should have looked at it.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but I think there are other countries that have a higher drinking age. It's just not very common.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, as far as the driving, I guess I'd be fine with 18, but I don't know, man. People are still idiots when they're 18.
Yeah, but driving isn't that. I mean, like, it's a big deal, but it's not that complicated.
I feel like young people and the elderly both should have an extra layer of proof.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
On them to show that they're capable of being on the road without being a menace to society.
I think that's fair.
Check-ins and stuff.
Well, not like if you're 18 to 21 and you rack up a bunch of fucking reckless driving shit, you should lose your license till you're 25.
I think that's totally fair.
As it is now, does it essentially go off your, if you're a minor, like, and you have like a bunch of like vehicular like issues, does it just go off your record anyway? Because that
don't
is
think so.
No.
Yeah, I should have done more research.
I think your driving record is different
than
your permanent record.
That's true.
Yeah. Whatever your permanent record is.
Yeah, that's made up. Record.
The perma wreck.
But yeah, no, like, you know, I was a good driver when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And my, you know, I've got a sister who's 18 and she's a good driver.
I guess my thing is more about lowering the drinking age,
I just like
the idea of like, it's like, there's such a weird juxtaposition to me. It's like, you can have this full vehicle when you're 15 years, you're a sophomore in high school, and you have this thing that can just kill everybody.
Yeah.
But you have to wait 6 more years to have a Bud Light. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, definitely.
Can I throw another one out that I just thought of?
Sure.
That kind of piggybacks off of Kevin's and will probably hit a little closer to home for Kevin.
Ooh.
I think cigarettes should be outlawed. Yeah. I think they should just be taken off the market altogether.
I mean, like, it's hard to argue with the health facts of it.
Don't come at me talking about a fucking Juul is making kids sick.
Sure.
And then cigarettes still kill 400,000 people in the United States every year. I don't want to hear anyone tell me about something that kills a lot of people.
Sure.
If you aren't also willing to acknowledge that cigarettes should be abolished.
I don't disagree with that. I just think that I don't agree with, I think every drug should be legal. I just think that I just honestly
name another drug that kills as many people.
I don't disagree, but like just flipping, I wouldn't want to outlaw any of that stuff.
Cause it all comes down to a personal choice and stuff.
I don't like cigarettes, but then
you also like, I feel like cigarettes need to come into the discussion about the cost of healthcare. No one wants to fucking acknowledge that. Healthcare would be a whole lot less if 400,000 people weren't dying every year from tobacco related illnesses. And
I would say more effective thing to do than outlaw cigarettes would be to heavily regulate the tobacco industry to the point where it is as cumbersome and to buy cigarettes as it is to buy like marijuana or whatever, where you have to go to a specific place and you have
a medical card that says you could smoke cigarettes. I have really bad anxiety on planes. Can I get a pack of Marlboros?
I would be fine with that.
But like, maybe not like that. Obviously there won't be a medical, but like, something like that. Basically, we've got this enormous tobacco lobby in this country that's never going to let cigarettes be illegal. Yeah. Whereas we don't have lobbies for all these other drugs, which I do believe should be legal, just because drug abuse and deaths from, just like deaths from cigarettes, are a public health issue more than a criminal one.
Right.
And when it comes to tobacco, I think the reason why you don't have the same number of deaths from something like heroin or opioids just in general is because of the regulations on the industries that produce those things, specifically opioids.
Yeah.
They're a lot harder to get than cigarettes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot fewer outlets. Whereas like there are so many fucking cigarette brands. They take up a whole goddamn wall.
Yeah. Every gas station, every
CVS or whatever. Like, so maybe take it down. So there's only like a couple.
Yeah.
Brands of, like, how about let's make it so you could, there's like a couple choices of cigarettes and that's it.
Yeah.
And then those are the cigarettes that you get. And if you really want to smoke cigarettes, then you got to smoke these,
I was just thinking about something like that too. Cause like, I was thinking like, I am a smoker. I should quit. I never feel good in the morning, but like, I think like if we did outlaw cigarettes, I think it would be so much easier. Like just imagine how hard it would be to keep up that kind of an addiction. Cause when you're a smoker, you smoke at least a pack a day.
Sure.
Usually. I am a pack a day person. It's awful. But like, would I be a pack a day person if I had to buy cigarettes like I had to buy weed in 2008? Cause that like, you'll find some guy that you're not really friends with and like hang out and watch him play Xbox for a while before he'll actually give you a cigarette or whatever.
Right.
Like, I would just be like, well, this sucks. I guess I'm just going to have to kick this cause I don't want to keep doing it. Like I think I totally, it is crazy that I do like that we started talking about drinking and driving and then we like landed upon, you know what the thing is that we should just ban cigarettes because it's obviously the worst thing.
It's bad. And the thing about it driving up healthcare costs, this is, I don't want to get way into this opinion, but most people should not talk about healthcare. Most people don't understand healthcare.
I definitely agree with
that. To be on Twitter screaming about it.
Yeah.
Like the reason I bring that up, I'm sorry, America, but that op-ed about overuse of healthcare, overuse of healthcare is a huge problem. I worked for a private health insurance company, and one of the key things that drove up healthcare costs is people would have these employer-provided health plans that covered everything. So motherfuckers would go to the doctor if they had like a pimple.
Right.
They'd be like, make sure this isn't cancer. Like, how about you give it 4 days and pop it?
Yeah.
And then that would help too. And that, like, people want to act like that's not going to be a problem when it will absolutely be a problem, especially all these fucking hypochondriac comics I know.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. People will be at the doctor every fucking day.
I went to an open mic. I'm probably sick.
There is no harm in putting some limits on healthcare coverage.
I think that that actually has an interesting parallel with the drinking age question, which is this American perspective that we're all coming from, because that's what we have a framework for. Whereas I think maybe in a country with socialized medicine where the fact, like, you're talking about people who have maybe finally for the first time in their lives gotten a health insurance plan that is adequate enough to allow them to go to the doctor for whatever little issue they might have. And in America, that's an insane luxury to know that no matter what might happen to you, you can get the health care that you might need.
The peace of mind is right, a definite luxury in America.
Exactly. There's a big difference between providing adequate health care and just saying everything you go to the doctor for is going to be covered no matter what.
I'm not disagreeing. But I am saying that I think that once a broader socialized healthcare program is put into place, you might, again, I'm not an expert on any of this, but you might see incidents of that go down over time as people become accustomed to the fact that of having the security of having the coverage.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, those aren't reports that you really hear a lot about from places with socialized medicine. Those sorts of incidents, you know, they kind of get weeded out over time. You would hope. And that seems to be the case. Again, not an expert.
Yeah. And but it does. You can use that same argument when it comes to the idea that private health care should still be an option if we have national health care, because I'm telling you, that's also where you're going to get a ton of that's where overuse of health care comes from right now, is private plans that just pay everything.
Yeah.
And people are like, I got the sniffles, time to go to the doctor.
Right, yeah.
And if you keep a mechanism for private health insurance in place and people still have those plans that just make going to the doctor like going to the fucking drugstore, you're still going to have healthcare costs are still going to go up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't necessarily know that there's a easy answer to that issue, obviously, but like,
I mean, you just, you know, you just give people access to a health plan that covers certain things. Like there's in any health plan, say you have 4 doctor visits a year. If you get sick, you can still go to the doctor. Right. Like it just has to be like, if it's outside of the normal 4 visits, then you might have to fill out a fucking form.
Yeah.
But like free healthcare, yes, but with some like constraints on what people can use it for, because people will use it frivolously. There's no question. Like, this is America. We use everything frivolously.
Like show up to the hospital smoking a cigarette as you walk in and be like, I got the sniffles. It's like in their face, blowing the smoke in their face.
It's just, you know, going back to kind of the greater good or doing the least amount of harm type of thing. You know, if that ensures that people who would otherwise not have access to healthcare can get it, then I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should have health care. Yeah. That's not even a question.
If that is what it comes down to, and I don't even know necessarily that that'll be the dynamic that it comes down to, but if it is, then that's it.
A lot of this show has been weighing out like very abstract concepts. Like, does it do more harm than good? Yeah. It's
all the trolley problem.
It's really just made me want a cigarette. That's all it is. I just really want to smoke because...
Yeah, I'll probably smoke one after this. Olivia, did you have anything?
Like you said at the beginning of the show, it was kind of last minute. So I'm trying to think, you know, I've got one and I feel like I'm just going to piss people off and come off condescending.
Ooh, I can't
and wait. Seem like just kind of a it's what pompous we're here asshole. For. I feel like stop it.
Fingers hovering over the button.
I feel like, like a vast percentage of Americans are bad at watching movies.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Explain.
Because there's a thing called film literacy.
Ooh, here we go. Yes. Yes.
A very pompous sounding term for just watching a movie and understanding what it's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Because every movie is communicating.
It's trying
something.
To tell you something.
Yeah, exactly. They're all, it's all, every movie is a conversation.
Sometimes they're bad communicators.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's bad. I'm not, yeah.
We're a theme park.
But there's this trend that I see when it comes to, this has really come out with social media, as so many weird social trends have. But whenever you see people arguing about movies online, and I'm talking about just like your average person arguing about movies online, not someone who knows what they're fucking talking about.
Not somebody that's a writer about movies. Yeah, or film critics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just this surety, because everyone watching a movie is sure that they are the ones who come out on top, knowing, you know, their opinion is correct and their idea about what the movie is about is correct. And so often they're just loudly wrong. And it all really comes down to the skill of film literacy, this idea of being able to interact and engage with a work of art on the art's own terms and filter that through your subjective lens. Like, you know, you could like or dislike something, but you still understand what it's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people lack that. And I don't think that there's anything, I want to be clear, I don't think there's anything inherently bad or wrong about not having a high level of film literacy. I don't think that in the grand scheme of things is a thing that makes you a better or worse person. It's what the ability that the internet has given to allow people to claim expertise on subjects that they are not experts on.
Oh, my favorite thing is when someone just subtweets a thing and just goes, "This is bad," and then they're like, "Yeah, I guess you're right. This movie sucked. I know because I'm on Twitter."
Right? Yeah.
That shit's annoying.
It's something that it really started to crystallize for me after the release of The Last Jedi.
I don't
want to get into.
Oh, well, that's a whole episode. That's a whole other episode.
People are still mad about that movie 2 years later. It's insane.
But
I
was good.
Yes. And I typically try not to engage with these kinds of toxic things online for my own health.
Yeah.
But like, I was so perplexed because I had such a visceral reaction to the film watching it the first time. It was like a euphoric reaction. It made me feel.
I loved it.
It made me feel like I was a kid watching a movie again, and no movie has ever done that. And it was this insane experience watching it. And then whenever I would engage with people who didn't like it, and I'm always trying to understand. It's kind of how I approach it. And they would be mad at things that like didn't happen in the movie.
Right.
It's they didn't like the movie, and that's fine. Not liking something that I like is fine. Like
That happens a lot.
It happens a lot. But like, it's,
I never understand it.
It's when
it happens.
And I will talk about it online.
The disconnect comes when people are explaining what they didn't like about something. And there's this focus on surface level details that were maybe communicating something opposite to the intention of the film is either the opposite of what's portrayed, which is tricky for some people, or they're just using these surface elements to talk about why they didn't like something, when in fact they could just say, it just didn't work for me. I just didn't like it. There were just elements of it that really didn't work. There's all sorts of ways to criticize something and explain why you didn't like it without kind of showing your ass.
And
if someone is trying to explain to you, how film works. Like, you know, like what it means when something is portrayed in a certain way, or, you know, like it's kind of a tough, it's a tough concept to nail down in, you know, on a podcast.
Yeah.
Because a film is kind of a visual thing, but.
Can I tell a quick anecdote about The Last Jedi?
Sure.
You sure can.
So the scene, I saw it on Christmas Day in the theater in Sacramento with my then girlfriend, Vanessa Gritton, and my mom, and I think my brother and my sister-in-law, and the scene where the, Holdo, Laura Dern's character, does the suicide thing to, you know, save them, buy him some time. All the sound goes out. Really dramatic moment. Some fucking Fox racing hat wearing Sacramento trash just goes, "That'll learn you," in the theater. And Vanessa just goes, "Shut the fuck up." It was amazing.
But yeah, so that's kind of my take, is that it's not something that's talked about a lot, and because there is this idea that opinions are kind of sacrosanct or whatever, but like,
yeah, that's an overall problem in America right now, definitely. Is opinions being used. We talked about like the anecdotal evidence thing last time I was on this show, but just opinions being facts is tough in a lot of different areas of life.
Just embrace what you know and what you don't know. Like, it's okay to not know.
You notice how quiet I was during the healthcare thing? That was me embracing what I don't know.
You know, it's okay to not be an expert on everything. It's fine.
In fact, some would say
it's lit.
It is. It's lit.
Well, that I think is an episode. We don't have any listener opinions, but I do need to shout out our $25 subscribers. Newcomer Andrew McGuire, T. Cooks and Ryan Borey, Eddie Barron, 5X Espinoza, Chaz Chitwood, Mike Ski, Homer Ostasis, the ghost of Dave Thomas, Nolan McLean, Shelley, DJ West, Katie Rimmer,
musical guest,
80s R&B sensation, Reby, Kelly Stanaway, Teresa H, and that H stands for Hammer. Thank you for clarifying, finally. James Hill, Carson Tuttle, Danny W, AJ Lindbergh, and as always, Jennifer Fendelander with one F.
Mom of the century.
So that's our episode.
Yeah.
Thank you both for joining me.
Of course. Yeah,
what do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops for now, but we are working on a new subscription service that will be better and more robust and give you more options. But until then, subscribe on Patreon. Daddy's got a tax bill to pay.
Hot dog.
Kevin, what do you got to plug?
Go listen to Hear something. I got a podcast. I'm losing my mind. Go listen to Bleak and Review. It's fun. Every Friday. Good episodes.
We have them.
And at KB Anderson Yo and all the things. If you don't follow me, I have lots of pithy statements that I post there. Ooh, take that.
Olivia, soundboard. What do you got to plug?
You can find me on Twitter at Hi There Hydar. I am just as pedantic and annoying. I have a podcast on the Unpops Network. It is called Lowest Common Phenomenator. It is currently on a break until next year. Well, I think I'm going to Indiana for a month, and so I think I'm going to actually record some episodes.
It's lit.
No.
Indiana's not lit?
No, not at all.
I was sure it was.
Absolutely not.
I think that's Caruso scream a little more accurately. I'm here again.
And so I think I'm going to record some episodes out there. But you can find the podcast on Twitter at LowComPhenom.
Very nice. All right, let's get the I'm going to play the outro live
too,
I don't have to edit that shit
this
in.
This is big.
Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Kevin, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a copyright notice over this. It happened once.
Really?
From Danger?
Wow. It's automated.
I was gonna say, what an asshole. He comes like on your show after he does it.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.